Hello, Playdate. This is Don.
This is Nick.
And I'm Ryan.
This week, we are covering Playdate news.
Recent indie releases.
And coming to you from the far and distant past. We'll talk about that in the news and notes. Don, take it away.
I wanted to sincerely thank each of you for listening. You don't have to, but you are right now, and we don't say it enough. Thank you for listening. Let's get started.
Oh, that was so heartfelt, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Yes, indeed. Thank you to everybody. And thank you, Don, for your heartfelt words. Okay, that brings us to our bitty boop boop news and notes. So I mentioned that we are coming to you from the far and distant past. That is like 7 days ago now. We are recording this on March 19th, and we will release this at our regularly scheduled time, March 26, 2024. That's correct math, right? I think so. If there's some breaking news in the next week that we're not covering, now you know why. We're not falling asleep on the job. I'm leaving town, and these two blokes were nice enough to record early. So thank you to Don and Nick for recording early with me.
I feel like we need a harp glissando effect to bring us back to the past.
Signify our return from the future.
Nick's editing this episode.
And right, Nick, so, and Ryan instantly become very quiet.
So Ryan, what's happening in the world of news of this week?
Boy howdy. There has been a surprising amount of news in the past week since our last episode.
I am surprised.
Oh my gosh. Sure. I am too. Well, let's go over it. First of all, okay. New episode of the official Playdate podcast dropped after almost a year. Not that we're counting, Krista, but a lovely episode talking about Mars After Midnight. Now, before we get into the episode itself, first of all, in our copious show notes, thank you, Donathan, you will find a link to this podcast. But I reached out to Krista Mergen and said, hey, heard the new cast. Is this season number two? What's going on? And she said, this is not a new season. The idea is just to put out some episodes in the interim period between season one and hopefully eventually an official season two. So there's no clear release schedule for these things. They're just sort of coming when they come. So it was a nice little surprise. She leaked some information. There's a couple in progress episodes she's got going. She mentioned to me what they are, but I don't know if she wanted that public. So I'm just going to leave it at that and pretend that we didn't have that conversation. So anyway, she's not sure when those will come out, but there are more episodes in the works. She also mentioned, Krista Mergen mentioned, that she's working on episodes for the Panic podcast, which focuses on panic things like non-playdate games. And she's hoping to release those on a more regular schedule. So if you're missing Krista's melodious voice, you can go look for that Panic podcast. What are you guys thinking about all this? Is this exciting you? Did you listen to the episode?
Yeah, absolutely. That always jumps to the top of my queue when a new episode comes out.
So. Yes, yes. So why don't we get into ye old episode, which is about Mars After Midnight. Essentially, there was an interview, you know, This American Lifestyle, heavily edited, nicely what would you put together? Words are eluding me as always, by Krista.
Polished.
Interview with Lucas, polished production. Featuring an interview with Lucas Pope of Mars After Midnight. I've got some stuff that I thought was pretty interesting, but how about I shut my yapper for a minute and see what jumped out to you guys? What did you see or hear, rather, in this episode that stood out to you?
Ryan, had you ever heard of Lucas Pope before last week?
I am a very bad nerd. It was the first time I'd heard of Lucas Pope. I'm sorry, Lucas Pope. You sound like a very confident fellow, but I had not heard of you before.
I feel like his other big games would be Ryan Games, probably. Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Maybe I need to look into this.
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat. Oh, difference of opinion. I hear a fight coming on. I'm stepping back.
Oberdim maybe made more than Papers, Please. Well, I don't know. I could see both. Papers, Please is on mobile, though. Oh, the other way?
Oh, the gloves are coming out.
They're very different games, but yeah, very, very good. And they explore aspects of gaming that aren't often explored. Oh, at the time. Now, Papers, Please has been ripped off about 10,000 different ways, but very exciting, innovative gameplay that is fairly accessible, even though Oberdin is fairly challenging to wrap up, in my opinion. Very cool that he spent so much time and polish. We gotta get his thesaurus so we don't say polish anymore. But it's very cool that he made a playdate game. Although I didn't like the articles coming out saying, "Oh, new Lucas Pope game came out today." The downside is, and then you can only play it on playdate.
Not a fan of those. I was about to ask you a question, but then I heard Nick say, which usually means there's a disagreement. So I'm gonna pause for a minute.
I don't remember what it was about.
Okay. All right. So, Don, I do have a question for you. I kept hearing Krista talk about how Mars After Midnight was like a lighter, funner version of Papers, Please. I've not played either game yet. What do you think about this, Don? I know you've played both.
Papers, Please is immigration-based. You're turning people away who are trying to immigrate out of a rough country. And there's political, well, there's not political stances, but it's emotional to an extent. It's video gamey, but there's implications, and it makes you think about what you're doing and what some real person on Earth has to do every day. Whereas Mars After Midnight, you're an alien turning away people at a mixer
nightclub.
Yeah, so it's not the same. It's definitely much lighter, and you know, you're cleaning a table and whatnot. I honestly have not had much time to play anything this week, so when I played my playdate, I was playing this week's featured game. I have not played that much of Mars After Midnight yet, but definitely a much lighter tone than Papers, Please.
Yeah, she, in Krista's defense, she did mention a lighter version of that, but maybe game mechanics are similar, question mark?
In Papers, Please, you're looking at somebody's documents, their passports and their visas, basically, and seeing if they match, if they pass, basically, if they're up to snuff with whatever the day's agenda is for what people you're allowing into your country. And if they don't pass, you reject it and you send them away.
An inspector in both games. So you're inspecting immigration documentation or letters of recommendation or things like that in Papers, Please. And in Mars After Midnight, which I haven't played yet, but I have listened to this podcast and I am familiar with the basics of the game as I've been briefed by Don. It is similar aspects.
We've all been to a nightclub and not been hot enough, and the bouncers told us to leave.
Nick has no idea what you're talking about. with that said, not that I'm bitter about getting turned away and Nick getting let in last time we went out, but we won't talk about that because we're talking about this podcast. They highlighted some of the development process, the game mechanics, mentioned Lucas's copious devlogs, which really got Krista excited. And I thought that his talk about deliberately steering clear of one bit dithering on the playdate was a really interesting section. And I guess that makes sense because I'm art guy, but essentially talking about his choice not to use the simulated gray tones in his art style in order to make it a very legible game. And so I revisited some of the screenshots from it and took a look, and sure enough, yeah, it was really quite clear, very contrasty. So there wasn't a lot of mid-tones. There wasn't a lot of that dot pattern dithering going on. It was interesting to hear a playdate developer really speak quite directly to the artwork. I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like a lot of playdate developers kind of come at the art second and don't give it a lot of thought. You know, I had my little tirade last week about thicker outlines for figures and thinner interior details and background lines. And I was happy to hear some positive feedback about that after the episode. So thank you.
I was thinking about it last night, Ryan.
For chiming into our Discord. but anyhow, that part struck me as pretty darn interesting. Did that jump out at you guys, or is that just a me thing?
Yeah, I'm very interested. I'm extremely art challenged, as Ryan knows. Every form of art that's possible to create, I have destroyed in some
way. No, I love your stick bears.
Well, that makes one of us. So anyway, I'm always very interested in hearing different techniques, especially from somebody who is of a technical bent, who explains it in a way that I understand a bit more readily than some pure art
than the way I explain it. You can say it. It's okay.
I didn't say that.
I could hear your undertones
quite clearly, huh? Not as clearly as the artwork is made and displayed on the playdate, right?
I like listening to Nick try to get out of this one.
Yes,
this
is thank fun. You. All right. Anyway, yes, I was excited to hear that. And yeah. I'm always interested in hearing it.
Don, did you listen to this episode?
Nerd shit, it, what?
It's okay. It's okay. No. It's okay. I, as we have established, had no idea who this Lucas Pope fellow was, but looked him up. And he's got some things under his name, like some Seamus McNally grand prizes, plural, from the Independent Gaming Festival. So for Papers, Please in 2014 and the return of Obra Den in 2019, that sounds impressive that he would have a couple of these grand prizes under his belt. Very cool. So now he's just got to get Mars After Midnight up there in the grand prize category. Get the playdate on the map. Anyhow, another thing that jumped out at me was Pope attended Virginia Tech. So, Nick, hey, this guy's your neighbor. Hop on over. Rub some elbows.
Next door.
Yeah. Give him a ring. Bring him some sugar. And
just see if he wants to chat. He's much smarter than me. That's all.
that he went to Virginia Tech?
Yeah. That's it's a very respected school for engineering.
Impossible. Of all types. What was that, Don?
Impossible. Nick's a genius.
I'll say.
We'll learn more about Nick's geniusness in a second.
Yeah, yeah. In this next news and note. However, are we done talking about
the Lucas Pope cast?
The other Playdate podcast. The official Playdate podcast.
We could be the Playdate podcast. We could transition.
We could summarize each episode of the Playdate podcast. Okay.
I mean, I think we just did, right?
Let's splinter off.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Nice talking to you guys. All right.
We just had to talk about how we need to talk more, and now we're pushing a little too far. Yeah. We're trying to find a happy medium.
I feel like we're walking a tightrope.
Ryan, you're doing a great job.
I'm doing what I can. I'm trying to make everybody happy.
All right.
You're at a C+, Ryan. You're doing great.
Better
Ryan,
than usual. All right.
Weeps so softly in the corner. take the next one. So there's a new programming language on the block for the Playdate. Have you all heard of Swift?
Let me cue up the snoring soundbite on the...
My gosh.
No, go ahead.
Don, telling us to do the things, we do the things, and then you're...
No, go ahead. I didn't understand why people were excited, but then Scenic Route Software... broke the mold. Man. He started to make me see the light, but you guys explain why.
Yes. Okay. I reached out to Mr. Rout, but before we talk about that, Nick, please regale us with what the heck is a Swift? Why do we care? What does it have to do with Playdate?
Swift is a modern programming language that's made by Apple for their iOS and Mac devices. And the big deal with it is that it is really fast. So C, which is one of the languages supported by the Playdate, is like the Latin of computer languages. Almost every computer language is derived from C. So if you know C, if you're good with C, typically the learning curve is much smaller for learning other languages. The big deal with C is that it's super portable. It's like supported on almost everything. And has been for, 50 years, something like that, 55. So C is everywhere, simultaneously. And it's also, kind of the the basis for a lot of modern languages. A lot of other languages take the ideas and concepts of C and then think that there is a different way that they can abstract different portions of the language. So C being Latin, it's very basic. It's very type heavy. You have to know what you're trying to say, you know, well in advance of actually saying it.
Which part of C involves Swift, though?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. I heard was C, you basic.
C. C is not basic. C is much more advanced than basic and much more performant. That is the big deal. Basic is a totally different animal. Anyway, Swift is like C in that it is fast. And that's a big deal, especially on a device like the Playdate, which has very limited memory. You have constraints, real constraints on the Playdate, which you don't really have in the same ways on modern computers. So programming a modern computer, very different than programming an embedded device like the Playdate, where you have, you know, many different constraints. So speed is of the utmost importance. Lua, very slow. It's a lot easier for a human to understand it with less training, maybe, than C. But it is not performant. There are things that Lua does which are very slow. And so it's always extremely impressive to me to learn how Playdate developers are making games and how they are making them perform well. So Swift is another alternative to C that is, it's different in a few different ways. But the most important thing is that it can pull in an entirely new group of developers. So if you have a developer who is familiar with and Mac development, they can move very easily between those development environments and the Playdate. So that's huge. And Scenic Route Software actually talked about that. In our show notes, we'll have a link to Panic's announcement of the Swift language support, and it showed up on the Swift blog as well, and we have a link to that.
I was just going to chime in with a couple thoughts from Mr. Rout, if you don't mind. It sounded like you were coming in for a landing there, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right on.
Okay, so Mr. Rout goes on to say that this was not a Panic initiative and is not officially supported. Rather, it was part of the Swift team's mission to have Swift run in more places via their embedded language mode. Swift is interoperable with C and compiles the machine code.
Interoperable
with C and compiles to machine code just like C. So the Playdate has no idea what the code was originally written in. This is still all very early, and it's not ready for prime time just yet. There are hoops you have to jump through to use it currently. You need to use the night blobbity blah. There's like stuff here that Nick understands and I don't. But it's very promising, says Mr. Rout. So again, as Nick was stating, it sounds like if you're versed in programming Mac and iOS stuff, boy howdy, now's your time to shine with this whole Playdate gaming stuff.
That's a huge advantage. So developers who are making iOS games, for example, can just flip a switch, you know, in their development environment and start programming for the Playdate really easily without having to learn new language norms and syntax and all that stuff, which are typically stumbling blocks for learning a new environment. There's still the same SDK stuff that you have to kind of wrap your head around, you know, how do you actually show images on the screen, those kind of things. But it's a much smaller learning curve if you're already coming from that world. So this is not a world that I'm involved in actively, but I am interested in seeing how this comes along. And if Swift is ported to more places where I am actively involved like this, it becomes a much more compelling language for me to learn. Really cool.
Nick, as usual, I feel like when you talk about code stuff, I understand it much better than I did before. So thank you for all that. And now that Nick's spoken his piece, we'll talk to you next episode. Good job, Nick.
Yeah, no problem.
He used up his word count.
Yeah.
No, seriously, Nick, thank you so much. I really do feel like I learn a lot when you chime in. So thank you for chiming in. Don, did you learn new things?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much, Nick. Let's swiftly move on.
Oh,
there we go.
To the next news and note, which is about Uncranked, the official Playdate magazine, edited by powerhouse community builder, game developer, and future Panic employee, Zanya Lasagna. She released a trailer, guess what? Today, and I don't mean a week ago, I mean the drop date of this episode, March 20, whatever this is, 26th. So this new issue, number 3, has over 60 pages of content, and there's some big interviews with the likes of Nevin Mergen, Thumb Grooves, the developer of Kitty Pig, Donald Fraser, better known as Gov Bubs, who you know from the Community Awards and Comet. We've also got a ton of other articles from known entities like James Gameboy, Mouflon Cloud, Ginger Beard Man, Lua Lessons, Pulp Tutorials. This is just continues to be a jam-packed publication. This trailer that came out today, coinciding with the release of this episode. So Zanya Lasagna, thank you for working with me to make this coincide, allow it to come out at the same darn time as this Playdate episode, Hello Playdate podcast episode. Very cool of you to do. So we will have a link to that in the show notes for today's episode. And as you are likely to see on the video, pre-orders for issue number 3 begin on April 1st. No fooling. That's really a real date. That's not a joke. And if you want to order these, you can either go to Zanya Lasagna's store envy page or the uncranked.myshopify.com page. Either one works just fine, and we'll have links to both of those in the show notes for today's episode. Guys, another issue of Uncranked.
Yeah.
Thoughts? I am excited. These are huge issues and
no joke.
Gigantic labors of love, I can tell from all the contributors and from Zanya herself, who has put so much effort into making these just fantastic publications. So I can't wait for further issues, and I can't believe the rapidity with which these are coming out.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels like
it's like the third in 6 months, like every other month.
Yeah, so
it like, it is so Zanya so wants to put these out quarterly, and I think she's actually doing it. Like, that's a nutso schedule to keep up, especially as an editor, when you're herding a whole bunch of cats and then trying to fit all this into a page count and a word. Anyway, Zanya continues to astound.
In the best way.
Yes. My gosh. My gosh, yes. So the hidden news item within all this is that Uncranked has a new YouTube channel, and we are going to link to that in the show notes for today's episode. But yeah, I was chatting with Zanya, and she's like, oh yeah, here's a little preview to this trailer. I'm like, what the heck is this? You have a YouTube channel? I didn't know about this. She's like, yeah, just started it about 4 days ago. And she's got a few videos up there for past videos or for past issues as well. So check it out, subscribe, hit that bell, as they say, so that you can be caught up to date on all the Uncranked info.
Definitely. This is just so impressive.
Yeah, the last issue just kept going and going and going. It was very impressive. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. If you don't want or can't get a physical zine, highly recommend getting the digital zine. Just checking it out there. I think it was like $6 or something.
She's really covering all the bases with the offerings here. So
pick it up.
I really like having the big paper zine myself. It's just handy to reference, but I'm kind of a paper person. But yeah, it's great. It's international, wherever you may be. If you prefer digital, there's an option.
And by the way, digital is not $6. It is $3.99.
Oh, are you kidding?
I'm not joking you.
Wow.
A steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
for
right.
Sure.
So, Zanya, obviously your check catch. We've been talking about this for the last 5 minutes. I think that you should have a gajillion subscribers. We're just so impressed with what you do. Thank you for continuing to do it. and panic, take note. So I think that's all for today's news and notes section. Yes? No? Yes?
Where does that bring us, Ryan?
That brings us, I'm so glad you hubity poop asked, in the inventory.
Fresh off the press, the Kimmy demo. It says limited time demo. I think that the demo is limited in length, not the length of it being available. But the dev posted it on our Discord. And so I said, yeah, sure. I don't usually mention demos, but I'm going to throw this on there. He turns your playdate into like a little Tamagotchi looking dude.
Is that what's going on? I was looking at the page really, and there's no like screenshots. I'm like, what am I even looking at right now? But that makes sense. Fun.
These are the screenshots, but you can use the crank to pet Kimmy and whatnot. So very cute.
Very fun.
Check it out. It's free.
Very cool. Yeah.
Hard to beat that.
And the full game will be releasing soon, right?
I have no idea. There was no other information. Unless they updated. Okay. I asked and then started doing the show. So I don't know.
Okay.
Nick's hot on the trail. Next up is Spell Me Cranked by Tez Frazier. Oh, the first game, sorry, Kimmy was by Finn too, by the way. Next one, Spell Me Cranked by Tez Frazier. This is a spelling RPG.
Oh, can we go back for just 1 second to Kimmy?
Sure.
So the developer posted that it's going to be their first commercial game. They didn't give a timeline, but it sounds like it's in the works, especially if a demo is out. But I just wanted to highlight that. Congratulations on getting this closer to the market as your first commercial game. Really cool. Okay.
Yeah, very cool. And our next game is Spell Me Cranked by Tez Frazier. This is a spelling puzzle game. It looks very different, so I'm excited to check it out. What's odd is both of these games have white and black itch pages you don't usually see. So I don't know if what's going on here. Anyway, it's got different game modes. It's currently on sale for $1, usually $1.25. I did download this one, have not played, but it's a remake of the word game Spell Me, which appears to be a PC game, which I also have not played. Oh, an iPhone game, excuse me, mobile game. But looks fun. We'll be checking it out, and maybe you'll hear more about it soon.
We will. Yeah, thank you for the quarter off. Now we can go play some Galaga at the pizza parlor.
Yeah. I saw there was a sale going. I doubt it's still going when this episode airs, but I saw some games were on sale for a quarter or 50 cents, but the minimum purchase price on itch is $1. So can you, is there a cart? Can you like, do you have to build up a cart over $1 or no one knows? Anyway, next up, Ace Angler by Comfy Crow. This is a first person fishing game, and I saw a lot of praise for it on the squad Discord.
Sounds threatening. First person fishing.
It is, yes. You hop right in there with an M16 and go to town. You stand on a dock and it looks like a 90s style arcade fishing game. Looks cool.
This looks really cool. Yeah.
Downloaded, have not played, but interested in checking it out.
Oh, and Toad contributed some of the artwork.
Mm-hmm. This is name your own price too. And we know Toad does good work. So,
and fishing work at that.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Next up from Kraz Productions, there are two movies, like interactive movies on the playdate. First one is called What Lies Beyond for $7. Next one is Ribcage for $4. What Lies Beyond is like a sci-fi G-rated Twilight Zone kind of movie. It says it has a positive Christian undertone. And it's episodic. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily look like it was made for Playdate, but I don't see anything else on here that says otherwise. Anyway.
I'm just tripping out about seeing a live action movie unfolding in Playdate form. This is so wild.
It's so strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has a lot of files, like maybe half a gig worth of files.
Oh my,
I'm looking at this right. So I'm guessing you want to download the piecemeal, unless if you're like us and have a million things on there. Otherwise you could probably dump the whole thing on there, but I like that they did put it episodically So that is an option because those are very large for playdate games.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the next one they did with this like pig headed guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ribcage is short. It's 20 minutes, a short film. And that's just 140 megs.
What was the other one? I thought the other one was like 17 and change.
No, just the audio file for the first episode was like 17 and change.
No, I mean like 17 minutes long.
Maybe the first episode was, but there's four episodes.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
Don't see times listed on the first one.
On the screenshots there, the GIFs, it has a timer, and at the end of it, it says 7 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah.
17. Huh. Did I say seven?
I don't know which episode that is. Yeah, good call.
So these all work with Playorama, the movie app.
Oh, okay.
Have either of you messed with that very much?
A tiny
bit. You know
bit
the
when
answer to
out.
That, Nick.
I don't remember what I watched. Tenet, maybe? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it's cool to see more content come out that's compatible with that.
Yeah, for sure. So that sounds interesting. Give those a shot. Next up is Target Rush by Jex. This one does look really fun. I did download this. I have not played it yet. I downloaded it last night. But you jump around. Nick, this looks similar to a lot of other like NES style games. You're jumping around trying to grab targets. I feel like I played the crap out of some very similar game, but I am not.
Yeah, the original Mario Brothers arcade game, the bonus stages are very similar to this. Yeah.
Okay.
This does look fun.
You notice how he's like throwing a frisbee or something?
Oh yeah.
As he goes and then he can pick it up. Anyway,
that's a neat little twist. Yeah. I like that the stage in the GIF looks like a nonplussed face in the background.
Be chill. Oh yeah, you're right. The actual stage configuration.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good call. It's $1.50. And I played something else by Jex that was pretty solid. I know that name. Good stuff. Next up last up in the itch stuff is 10 Day Champion. This actually is, it says demo in the file, but there's like no information about if this is going to be a game, if this is a demo. Besides that, it's free. It looks really neat, like a cool RPG with a lot of stuff going on here. But I don't know what it is. Like, it just looks really like they did a ton of work and then just like shoved it out the door. So
the scope of this looks humongous.
Yeah.
For a playdate game, especially. So very interested to see how this develops. There was something similar in scope that I think came out in demo form not too long ago. A larger turn-based RPG type of thing. So curious. Not initial daydream, but something that was more akin to this as far as graphically and different options and so forth. Anyway, I forget. And so that was really not much of anything.
It's kind of got a 90s RPG look to it.
Yeah. This was 10 Day Champion.
10 Day Champion, yes, by Nebucad Studio. And then getting into catalog stuff, Ryan threw this on the show notes. For some reason, catalog dump happened on Thursday.
Yeah, I was wondering if this was starting to like sort of go off schedule. I feel like these are sort of coming at unexpected times. And am I just making that up?
No, yeah, it's weird. Like we got an extra dump like on an off week, and then we had Mars After Midnight by itself on like the actual normal time, and then we got these on a Thursday, five games on a Thursday. So I don't know. Ask your BFF, Krista, what's going on?
Yeah, I've never been in touch with the person in charge of catalog. So maybe that's why.
Not yet, right? Until we submit our first 50 games.
Oh, gosh. Fantastic. Well, anyway, that catalog sale's over, but five new games dropped since we last recorded, and those happen to be Crunky. This is the first one.
Crunky is solid. By Carson Compton. I don't remember you guys talking about this, but this came out a long time ago on itch, and it's a lot of fun.
I thought I remembered this. Uh-huh.
the high score chaser where you're just constantly bouncing and you're trying to not bounce on other stuff. Collect coins, don't touch stuff. It's silly. It's $1. It's pretty fun. Maybe yeah. they'll add a high score thing here. I don't know.
It seems like it would be ripe for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hard to go wrong for a buck. The next game that came out was Jolly Chimp Champ. It's an action puzzler, kind of cartoony, kind of fun. Looks like there's some conveyor belt action going on. So yeah, looks worth a try. This one is $6 and it is by a developer who's named
Drew Loback. And there's a free demo on itch.
Oh, that's interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. We're following this one up with Rota. Rota is by Buck Young. And
we've talked about this one.
Yeah. Haven't we seen this before? Was this an indie inventory at one point?
It was, yeah. We were trying to figure out how to keep moving because you're constantly changing planets. I played a little bit of it. It is a little challenging, but you kind of get the hang of it.
I remember playing this and having a super difficult time with it.
There's a high score challenge going on right now, some kind of contest. If I can find a link to it, I'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, people are chasing the high score on it to win something. I don't know what.
Interesting. Well, looks like Glenn Jammin is running away with this thing. There's a bunch of scores in the hundreds, and he bursts in with 348. Good luck catching Glenn Jammin. Anyway, that's Rota. We also have Satolite. Satolite, a pick o' Dawn coming into catalog. Dawn giving it the old catalog bump. Nice job, Dawn. We talked about Satolite a bunch the other episode, and Dawn and I super liked it. And what else do you want to say about it that we didn't already say?
I didn't know it was coming to catalog when I picked it, but here it is.
I know.
$5. Yeah.
Awesome. Worth it. And then finally, there is an e-reader on the Playdate now called Playbook, a cranky ebook reader, which, gosh, this just like makes me happy that this exists. How hipster would you feel if you busted out your Playdate and started reading, you know, Gulliver's Travels or whatever they have on here? It looks like they've got Frankenstein and
Gulliver's Travels.
The Great Gatsby.
Brian's 140 years old.
Yeah. Going on 150. Anyway, yeah, they've got a few books on here. I think it's 5. I read through here and there's ways in which you can start putting mm-hmm. your own books on here as well. Sounds amazing. Anyway, this one's $5 and you can turn your Playdate into an ebook reader and be the hipsteriest hipster on the bus.
I'm an ebook fan. A couple things stand out about this. The fact that you can crank through the book is genius.
It's so lovely. Yes.
That would make it such a pleasant experience. Every e-reader has abstracted page turning in a really difficult way. And I think a crank is a great abstraction because it's still physical. You're still like manually moving a thing rather than clicking and immutable button or surface. So I like that. The other thing is that it should be noted this doesn't read EPUB or Mobi or any of the typical popular ebook formats. It is plain text TXT files only.
Does it come with a book light though for Ryan? Comes with this candle on the side.
And until they come out with the backlit Playdate. Yes, totally. All right. Cool. Well, a few of those got me excited. Maybe it'll get you excited too. They're over on catalog and also linked on our show notes for your ease and convenience. Thanks to Dawn. So as we all give Dawn a round of applause, why don't we make our way into the hee-bee-dee-boo pick of the week? This time it's coming. The pick itself was picked by me. And the game is called Water Flow. This is a catalog game, and it's by Torsten Kramer. And Torsten created this lovely little puzzler-type game, sort of a puzzle action game, where there is a start of a flow of water. And there are a number of pipes around here, It sort of has the pipe dreams feel to it, but with a few different mechanics thrown in for good measure. And essentially you're rotating these pieces around, straight pieces, elbow pieces, cross pieces, in order to get from the start of the water flow to the end of a water flow. Usually there's also elements in the game where you're trying to not get to the end goal, but just trying to meet a particular point threshold. So there is no end goal at that point, or there might be another goal or two that I'm forgetting. So there's a number of ways to play this game. It's got 66 levels to it, and you can play through all those, or there is a high score chaser level where you can sort of do an endless run of this and you know, see if you can get the high score on the game, competing with different Playdate folks like the Hello Playdate podcast, who is currently in fifth place. So nobody trump that.
Congratulations,
please.
Don.
Ah.
Thank you. I wear the crown proudly. No, that's all Ryan. That's Ryan. Hey, you were tied with somebody. So somebody, one of these guys must have gone up a little.
Oh, there's a story there. Mr. Tante Franz, I beat him. So I was in fourth place legitimately. And then Tante saw that. And then I did see that he tied me, but it put Tante just below me. I don't know if that was alphabetical or sequential because he got that second. But then Tante shot up there. At 5,400 right now. Anyway, this is tremendous podcasting.
Fired up, Ryan. Just
yes, these high score challenges really get me going. So anyway, back to water flow. Back to water flow. Not only does it have the individual levels you can make your way through and the endless runner mode for point grabs, but you can also create your own levels in a level editor. And it's super fun. But what do you guys think? I've been talking about this for a while. I'm curious what you guys felt about playing this gem of a game.
Well, honestly, I didn't have a whole lot of time to play in the past week, so I'll go quick since I only got in like 15 levels or so. At first, I was very confused. We had some disagreements some complications in the Discord to try and figure out what was going on. You could enter the goal from any direction, which we all thought was amazing, but that ended up being a bug. But I didn't realize that you could enter it from any side that you could rotate it. And I thought it was like the hardest game on earth because I ended up making my pipe go the entire length of the screen. It was like 800 points long before I actually accidentally beat it finally. But then I realized that you could rotate it at some point. And you can also rotate I think another bug was rotating the starting base, right? The pump?
No,
you cannot rotate that?
No, you are able to rotate every single square on the board. So that includes the start, that includes the stop. And I feel like this is one of the great things about having these games of the week and having multiple people play them. And then on Discord, that's where I learned about the fact that you can rotate the start, you can rotate the finish. And Don, when you posted that, my mind exploded because I was in the same boat as you, thinking that, like, surely those points are fixed and it's all the pipes that you can rotate. But no, every single piece on the board you can rotate. So I was making my way through about 15 levels before I was thankfully told by you that this game can be much easier.
The developer chimed into the Discord and they noted that any field with a dark or bold border is not rotatable. And they mentioned level 8 as the first one where it occurs. So the source of the water in that stage can't be rotated. But
right, so
as they point out, it is very clear graphically that you're not able to do that.
And it's also in the instructions for the game. So the instructions tell you these boldly outlined pieces are fixed. You cannot rotate them. And as Nick said, also quite clear visually.
I think this is another case where hitting the pause button, if it brought up those, because I think there's only like 8 icons that are different. If it brought up those 8 icons as a refresher,
I agree.
Hey, this is what this means. This means this or whatever. That'd be a little helpful. But that's an aside. It's not really a huge complaint. Another thing that's cool is, like, I think in pipe dreams, if the water hits the wall, it's game over. Or in a lot of games like that, that's true, but not in this one. In this one, it's like Pac-Man. If the water hits the wall, it comes out the opposite side of the playfield. But also, when it does that, it shuffles the playfield, which is really cool. Like, it seems like it would suck, but it's actually pretty cool because it's advantageous most of the time. Ryan's going to say something.
It shuffles. I'm going to chime in with actually.
He's going to actually hear.
Yes.
So it shuffles part of the play field, and the part of the play field that it shuffles is the part that had water in it. So that makes sense. The rest of the pieces stay the same.
Okay. But you can freely move everything, I think?
Correct.
Almost everything. Okay.
Except for fixed items.
For fixed items, yes. Anyway, so that was cool. And before I realized that, I was doing a lot of dumb stuff, like it would just pop right out and hit a wall or hit at the end of a pipe or something, which was annoying. But I thought that was a really cool mechanic because that added a lot of strategy to the game and longevity to the game and fun to the game. Another really cool thing that I only messed with the last couple of days was making your own maps. I'm not interested in making my own maps, but there's a random button and you can just hit that random button and it just shuffles the pieces over and over. It was pretty fun just like seeing what it would do. And it's really fast. It's not like thinking about it and making it. It just pops it up right away and you can just go play it or you can save it for later, which I thought was really neat. But anyway, what did you guys think?
So I haven't chimed in yet, but I only had a chance to play 9 levels. So much less.
We failed.
I apologize, but here's what I learned.
Any of the next two games.
My time. I started up the game the first time, and I did encounter a bug right away. This is a pretty unusual bug. I guess Ryan never encountered it, but I started a stage, and there was no cursor. And after a couple seconds, the water started flowing, but I wasn't able to move anything. So everything was shuffled in a non-optimal path. As soon as it ran into a dead end, I won the stage. So I was very pleased to see that I won immediately, but I didn't understand what was going on. Yeah. And so I started that stage again and it was fine. And this is apparently not a super frequent, problem. I think Don, you mentioned you hit it one time.
I saw it once, but you had already mentioned it, and so I knew what was happening. I just reset the stage.
I played like 10 million games of this, I never encountered that. That's crazy.
So the crazy thing is it was the first one. Like if it had been the 50th stage or whatever that I had played, I'd been like, oh, weird. The very first one when I started it did that. So I was very confused for a second. And then I was like, oh, okay. That's just a weird coincidence. But, once I got into the game proper, I really like, pipe dreams and games like that. Pipe moving mechanics in games are really fun, and moving water from one area to another is always a fun challenge. Much more fun in video game form than in actual plumbing form.
That's true.
So I enjoyed that. I was playing an adventure game recently that had a weird plumbing thing. Anyway, that reminded me of this.
I did not know where you were going with that actual plumbing thing. Good job, Nick.
Yes, thank you. So I was also surprised by hitting the wall didn't end your game. And so it took me a second to figure that out. And wow, that adds an entirely new dimension to this that is so fun. It was really interesting to try and figure out the rules around that. One thing that really caught me off guard, the very first score chasing level, you have to get 1,000 points. And so I rearranged, it's arranged in like a figure eight almost. And I did all this different stuff to kind of optimize my points in the first screen. I get to the second screen and no matter what I did, I could not make a path to the finish. It was all straight pieces that were completely opposite to the direction I was going. Or it was all curved pieces that I could only loop back on myself after a period of time. Anyway, that took many tries. And the thing that really confused me about that rules-wise is it's the only stage I encountered thus far where you hit the edge of the stage and it brings you to a new screen. If you hit the edge of the stage again, I think in most other levels, it will take you to another new screen. But in this one, it did not. It just killed you.
If you hit the edge of a screen, it takes you to a new level? Am I misunderstanding?
Ryan, we're talking about the same thing that we've been talking about. When you hit the edge of the screen,
it
reshuffles the area where the water has previously traveled.
Okay, now I'm with you.
Okay, so if you do that a second time, usually, the same thing happens in my experience with other levels, not this particular one that I'm talking about, level 8, I think. Or 7, I don't know. This first score chasing one. So is there any clarity on like how that rule is applied, the insta-death when you hit the wall?
I don't know what version you're playing with, but you seem to have a disproportionate amount of bugs in yours.
Yeah, because
this is a bug.
I am literally on level 8 as we speak, and it's functioning exactly as it should. I'm cruising through walls like a champ, and it's not breaking my game. So I don't know what it, Don, do you have any insight into Nick's difficulties here?
I wasn't paying attention to the rules, and so I kept losing, thinking the game was broken. But then once I noticed, oh, you have to get 1,000, I was like, oh, okay, well,
I shouldn't
be hitting the goal.
But you have to go out
the walls. I mean, I did, obviously.
So what I discovered, I was like, okay, this must just barely be possible. And in reality, for me, it was. And that's because I had to wait for the optimal configuration of that shuffling in order to complete the stage. Because on the first screen, the maximum number of points you could get is something like 490 or something. And then when it flips over to the second screen, you have to make up over 500 points, but with less surface area. So you have to like really curve in an imaginative way in order to get to the goal. That took forever. And so that's why I didn't progress much further than that this week. But I'm glad that you all didn't have that experience, because that was really challenging. But I really felt good once I completed that challenge. So now I'm kind of worried that you all didn't have that experience. Like, what have I done? But anyway, I would be interested to know if that is correct or what. But every other stage that I played, you go out the edge and, you know, you're fine as long as you've got the setup on the other side to connect you. And so that's great. And that's expected for every other stage, but maybe that one, or maybe it's supposed to do that too.
That is very anomalous. Everybody, don't listen to what happened to Nick.
I got to edit all Nick's speech again.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
For different reasons this episode.
Anyway. Yeah, that's super weird. I have literally never experienced that either, Nick. That is so strange.
Okay. Well, all of my experiences with this game are odd anomalies. I am so sorry. I really like the music, and I really like the graphics. So
I was going to ask you about the music. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I really like the music. It's relaxing, and it reminded me of another game with relaxing audio. It's a puzzler like this. And
is it called Silver Falls Pinball?
You know what? Yeah, it is kind of chill hoppy, isn't it? not exactly, but yeah. It does have that kind of chill vibe, so that's a good call. And the graphics are really sharp. Like, I never had a question of what I was looking at. I did have to refer to the how to play once new mechanics started getting added in, just so that I could clarify. And I read that before I played, but just so I could clarify, you know, what these immutable objects were. There are some that are diamonds, and you can't rotate them. And I kept And I think in that high score chasing screen, I was like really frustrated because I couldn't route around those sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the pieces that I got in the shuffling. But, and I think, I don't know that that's totally random. I think there is a method to how those pipe pieces are generated in the shuffling. But
so just to bounce off of what you were saying real quick, on the high score chase mode, diamonds appear every time you leave the screen. So if you go from right to left, then a diamond appears. If you do it again, a diamond appears, which is, I think, a really smart mechanic, because if you did not have these additional obstacles appearing every so often, then you could really run that thing till the end of time. But if new obstacles are popping up, you know, every so often, and that exiting the screen is a good mechanic to do it, because it encourages you to wind your way around as much as possible before leaving the screen, so that you can use the least obstacled route possible before another obstacle pops in. Anyway, I thought that was super smart in the high score mode, personally.
Yeah. Great fun game. I wish I had more time to spend with it. That's my only real negative.
You do, Nick.
Do I have
the next 40 years?
You know, that's a good
point. You don't have to stop playing it just because the show aired.
I meant before we started recording. But yes. Thank you, Don. Other than that, the couple of bugs I experienced are obviously just weird things. And maybe they're specific to my playdate, I don't know. But it was a real joy to play. So thanks for selecting this, Ryan.
Cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it, despite the very anomalous behavior on your end, Nick. I'm sorry that happened. I wish it didn't. I wish we had similar experiences, especially because I know that's particularly difficult to suss out as a developer if it's not a consistent thing that's happening. So anyway, good luck with that, Torsten. I like this game because I picked it. And for me, it was just this really relaxing brain mechanic-y puzzler that became very addictive to me. Like, especially in that point battle or the high score challenge mode. I think I got this game on a perfect week for me, because I got sick last week, and so I was kind of laying low, and consequently I had more time than usual to just kind of sit around and relax and take it easy. And this was my take it easy game. And I loved that at the end of a round, it had that one more push button effect to it. Cause every round is like a minute or two. It's not going to take you a real long time to mess about on either the staged mode or the high score challenge mode. And so I was just racking up a bunch of games on there anyway. Loved it on my end, Torsten. Thank you very much. And we did hear from some folks on our Discord. Nick, you want to take this one?
Sure. So first, Dino chimed in and says, I haven't got very far, but I'm having fun. Some initial thoughts. Configuring a full traversal of the playfield before arranging the onward journey, starting at the point where the flow will re-enter the pipework, where the water trickles along, is very rewarding. The randomly changing tiles are a great idea. They really throw a spanner in the works. It's fun having to think fast when altering the route as tiles are swapped out, blitzing any previously well laid out plans. Having the score grinding always visible is a clever design choice. You know, that's something, speaking as Nick again, that we didn't mention. And the omnipresent score is fantastic.
Yes.
I love that. Okay, back to Dino. I always feel tempted to opt for longer routes in an attempt to hit the 3-drop top rating, extending the life of each stage. The crank input controlling the speed is fun, although it'd be great to have multiple speeds to crank through. Looking at the feedback from Torsten, that may already be in the works. It took me a few goes before I settled into the rules and mechanics, but I didn't read the useful how to play guide, and that is probably recommended before diving in. Overall, a great puzzler and lots of fun. Thanks, Torsten K, for your hard work on the game and also for contributing to this discussion in Discord. Thanks, Dino.
Ryan is muted.
Oh, so many words were said and they were so great, but I'll try to remember what they are. Anyway, that was one of the great things that happened over the course of this past week is after announcing Waterflow as our pick of the week, Torsten chimed in, the developer chimed in on our Discord and was extraordinarily receptive to feedback about the game. Every once in a while, we'd run into something like it would dawn on us that we could move the start and end piece. And, you know, we would have discussions about, hey, how can I make that more clear? Or there were some anomalies with the speed function, which was really cleverly designed with the crank. So you could like move it forward and kind of ramp it up or pull it back and it would ramp down. But I was having difficulties with that speed function where I swear I would leave it in one place and just not even touch it and it would change speed on me. So Torsten not only chimed into the Discord, but I had some personal discussions with him that I thought I would share here on air. So Torsten says, first and foremost, I'm really grateful about the discussion here regarding my game. A few people liked the game on the Playdate Squad Discord, but didn't give detailed feedback except the menu issue, which I changed. So this feedback was very helpful. So go Hello Playdate Podcast Discord. Thank you for being such an engaged, intelligent, and motivated community that we've got over there. And if you want to join that Hello Playdate Podcast Discord, you can do so. How do they do that, Don?
Show notes.
Show notes. There you go. All right. So first of all, the speed selector, Torsten, is revising this speed selector because of some of the feedback in our Discord. And now instead of that crank function, which was a little finicky, if I'm being honest, he's changing it to a push button. So right now, the way the buttons work is essentially A, rotates the pieces, and B, doesn't do anything. So Torsten is going to shift this so that you can push B to speed it up, or you can press it twice to speed it up to the max speed, meaning there's three different speeds. And then with a third hit of B, it will be the normal speed again. And so he says you can also use the crank for changing speeds in addition to B. So if you like that crank changing mechanic, that'll still be there. He also says there's going to be four new levels in this new update. He showed me a GIF of what these levels are going to be. It introduces a new mechanic. Again, not sure if he wants that announced quite yet, but he did say that the release is probably going to be right around the time this episode is released. So good timing, Torsten. He said when we chat, he needed a couple days to finish things up, and then Panic is probably going to need a couple days to push it live, so it should be right around the time of this episode release. Also, he mentioned when he started creating the game, he thought this is just an old school game and it will not get very much response. But now, at the end of the catalog sale, it has reached 1,000 sales and it is now a pick of the week right here on Hello Playdate Podcast. He said he never expected that to happen and wanted to thank everybody who bought the game and really hopes everyone figured out how the game mechanics work and had fun playing. If there are any questions about the game or things which could be improved, you could write him on Discord or send him an email. I do not know his email, but I would guess he doesn't want us to mention that on air either. So hop into the Hello Playdate Podcast Discord. Great time is being had there. So thank you, Torsten, for not only developing this wonderful game, but also being so active on our Discord, being so open to feedback about your game, making changes, and just being a wonderful human. So thank you for being a part of this community.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a little bit of a nostalgic trip, but with some modern tweaks to make it a little more fun and a little faster and bring it to a modern era. So, the price is right and it's right in our pocket. So it was really fun.
Yeah, cool. Good deal. Well, thanks for playing along with me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
I had a good
Ryan.
Time. It's always fun talking with you about the James. On an unrelated note, I just learned something in Dino's response, which is always so well thought and intelligent. He said that something threw a spanner in the works. Do you guys know what this is? I just looked this up.
It's a Rod Stewart album from like 1998.
Is that right?
That's where I first heard it.
Man, I have never heard that before. Right? Yeah, a spanner is a British term for wrench. Huh.
Yeah.
Learn something new. All right, cool. Thank you for educating us in more ways than you could even dream of, Dino.
Yeah, very cool. Nick, I also just learned that Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle is coming back this year. Since the demise of Stadia, this had similar vibes, and I really liked that game, so we are going to get it back.
Ah, okay. I was wondering where that came from.
Excellent.
Going out one side, coming in the other.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Pac-Man vibe. Okay, so I'm up next for my pick. My pick is going to be 4-Track. I've mentioned it a few times. It's coming, and now it is here. So there'll be a link in the show notes. This is
the tape-based recording device?
This is the tank-driving golf game. You drive a tank, you shoot the ball out, you leave your tank tracks all over the golf course. That helps you kind of line up your next shot. It is tricky to line up your shots at first, but you'll get the hang of it. It's procedurally generated. There are thousands of courses. There are four different scoreboards, Ryan, up on the site. Oh, looks like I'm getting pushed down. I'm in the last place on two of them now.
Uh-oh. So,
anyway, it's a lot of fun. I will put a link, or I'll put a posting thingy. I don't know what Nick called them. I'll put a thingy up in the Discord and we can talk about it there.
Fantastic. This is the one that Dawn 4 shadowed last time. So, you can pick that up if you have not done so already. And Don, you want to talk us out here with our website, playdatepodcast.com, the email, helloplaydatepodcast@gmail.com. What am I missing?
You just did it, Ryan. You got it.
There's more stuff though, right?
Don't
we have the grams and the twoots and the, is there something else? The Discord.
Are they on here? Hello Playdate is our Instagram. I think that's also our Threads. I don't have our Blue Sky handy, but yeah, if you go to Playdate Podcast or just look at our notes, just look at the notes.
Look at
all
the
this
notes.
Stuff's in the notes.
That's our mantra. Look at the notes.
I have a quick notes story. I was listening to the best Mexican album, the best Spanish language albums. A lot of them were from Mexico on Rolling Stone podcast. None of them in the show notes. And I don't speak Spanish, so they're mentioning all these Spanish artists. I'm like, oh, I got to check that out. But like, I don't know how to interpret what I'm hearing to type it down. Super annoying. If Rolling Stone, one of the biggest publications on earth, if they can't put it in the freaking show notes, very annoying.
Step up your game, Rolling Stone.
Come on.
Got to hire Don.
Very annoying.
The master of the show notes.
All right. We'll see you guys in a few weeks.